This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Now, moving on to our next story. So, Kuala Lumpur is going to be a world-class sustainable city in 7 years, at least according to the MIP or the Malaysian Institute of Planners. Now, we have, I think, seen some suggestions that perhaps this was a misquote, that we're going to be fully sustainable by 2026.
Yeah, so this was reported by the Sun Daily. They quoted MIP President Ihsan Zainal Mokhtar as saying that we're about 30% away from that goal. What they consider to factor into being a sustainable city, besides the usual green stuff like recycling and air pollution, is other factors and conditions regarding livability, like housing, living costs, income inequality, and reliability of public transport.
So in that same article, and the whole reason that this caught my eye, because we've talked about this before, how far along are we in terms of sustainability? Where are we at? I think what I'm bothered by is the idea that we're only 30% away from the goal, which conversely means that we're 70% of the way there. And
is this what 70% should feel and look like?
Yes, that's where I'm coming from. Because if you live in KL, if you try to recycle and just conduct your life in the city, I don't think you look around and go, yeah, this feels very sustainable. This feels really great.
Yeah, just go somewhere in the middle of KL, take a deep breath and look around you and just see whether you feel that we've reached that 70% mark.
Especially once we factor things like housing, living costs, income inequality, those feel like such huge big ticket items. And even in those individual pockets, I don't think we're 30% away from getting to equity. So it's just it was an unusual thing to suddenly hear. So we are going to kind of try to get behind those figures, right? Just to understand how they came about. So we went straight to the source. Joining us on the line now is Ihsan Zainal Mokhtar, president of the Malaysian Institute of Planners. Ihsan, thank you so much for joining us. So you were quoted as saying that we're 30% away from achieving the goal of KL becoming a sustainable city. But then when our producer got in touch, you clarified that this was in fact a misquote. Can you talk to us about what happened there?
Yeah. The paper, when they were asking me, they said, is KL sustainable? That was the question, you know? We are not too far off, I said. So they said, oh, give them a number, you know? So I said, maybe we are 30% off. So I don't know how they did the calculations, and they got from 30%, they got to, you know.
Okay, so I guess that 30% was just more of an informal gauge. Nevertheless, could you explain why you think KL is not too far from becoming a sustainable city?
Okay, I feel that Kuala Lumpur is not too far off because we've got a lot of things that have been put in place. KL aims to be a low-carbon city. We've got the public transport system ongoing. I mean, it's not perfect, but it's there. We've made efforts to reduce cars on the roads. We have days that we close certain roads. So all these little efforts are in place, you know. So a little bit more commitment from the authorities, support from the public. I think, you know, we're not too far off.
Right. And according to the news report, you were also quoted as saying that KL aims to become sustainable by the year 2026. But from what we've been told, we understand that that's not accurate either.
No. So it's not 2026 as a time frame per se, but what's going to happen is the new city plan is going to start in 2020, and it's going to be 2020 to 2040. That was the theme of the conference. Next KL, 2040. So we have a 20-year plan coming up, but the approach towards this new plan must be more holistic, more comprehensive, more implementable. You know, we had some issues with the previous plans. It was never gazetted. So this time around, we've got to make sure the plans are right. We've got to get the public to participate. We've got to get NGOs to participate. Everybody got to buy in. That's the important thing. And you can only buy into this idea of sustainability if everybody knows, or the target is a common target. So if you're looking at different things, if only from the economic point of view, it won't work. If only from the social point of view, it won't work. It's got to be total. And for us to achieve that, like I said, we're not that far off. There's many good things about KL that's happening, but we've got to get rid of certain bad habits. See, we've got no smoking zone. I think that's wonderful. All these things will lead to a more sustainable city.
What do you think will be the biggest challenge in implementing some of the sustainability programs that are embedded within our KL 2020-2040 city plan?
People's attitude, you know. I still feel that we still have this mindset, you know, for us to be comfortable, we need to have our own car. And having a single occupied vehicle ownership, you know, if you're traveling on the federal highway, you can see the number of cars that are only driven by one person. So we get all those people in the car, into the public transport, we'll manage to reduce the number of cars, we'll manage to reduce carbon, we'll get public transport to use electricity, more energy friendly and efficient. So if people buy into this idea that we can actually do something about it, you know, like now the anti-plastic movement, no straws, it's being accepted, but we have to do more. We have to make sure that everyone buys in that, you know, we're going through bad climate change. We need to really be sustainable. So educating people, making people accept these ideas are just as important as the programs that is being implemented.
So are there areas of development that need to be prioritized so that this idea of KL as a sustainable city is something that we can all experience and engage with?
I think public transport is one particular area, housing, ensuring low carbon and educating the public. If that kind of summarized the efforts that we need to do. And I still believe that, you know, we're not too far off, but we've got to put in that effort. The local authority, the people, the radio shows, you know, you have to make people accept that if you don't become sustainable, the other alternative is just too terrible to think of.
What would that alternative look like if we don't collectively move towards sustainability?
Would Pasir Gudang kind of be an idea of what would happen if we, you know, among the things, you know, you can't go to school in Pasir Gudang. I mean, the problem recurs. Technology has changed. We have things that we don't understand. That's one. We'll be still living in a congested, polluted city. We'll still be wasting plastics. There'll be poison in our food. You know, this is not a scenario that is like too far off, you know. If we read the reports, how the sea is being polluted, how, you know, it affects so many things, you know, and we have no choice.
Ihsan, thank you for speaking with us. That was Ihsan Zainal Mokhtar, president of the Malaysian Institute of Planners, clarifying some figures in the news that suggested that KL would indeed achieve sustainability as a city by the year 2026, and for that matter, that we're only 30% away from it. So good to get that clarification. But we would like to hear from you also. Would you say that we are getting there? What are some things that we need to fix or focus on? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We're going to be speaking after this with Chow Lun Wai, a senior lecturer in urban design at UTM. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Building fit Malaysians, BFM 89.9.
7:20 in the evening, you're with Lynn and Kelvin. We're talking about KL and sustainability because there was a misreported number that we are going to be fully sustainable by the year 2026, to which we went, huh? So we decided to investigate that, got some clarifications from the president of the Malaysian Institute of Planners, Ihsan Zainal Mokhtar. But we did still want to know, is it possible to put a number on our progress towards sustainability? So we're going to be talking about that with our next guest, Chow Lun Wai, senior lecturer in urban design at UTM. Lun Wai, thanks for joining us. So, okay, what do you think? If we were to measure the sustainability of KL in terms of percentages, where would we be? Can we put a number on it?
Oh, put a number. Well, I think it's difficult to simply put a number because it depends on really what we are trying to measure. Sustainability is such a, in a way, general and wide concept that sometimes its use has been quite indiscriminate. And also to give a figure, I think it depends also on what kind of indices or measures as well as criteria that actually we decide to choose. You see, because there are so many different variables, some may be quantifiable, some are directly quantifiable, some may need to be translated into indices, but some are probably intangible ones, like when it comes to quality of life, happiness, and those kind of things. For example, if you look at the Sustainable Development Goals itself, I think there are at least something like 160 over targets to be achieved, which could be further detailed down into sets of criteria and so on. So in order to come up with a figure, we need to have a very careful study of and collecting available data for KL and try to put in into the kind of assessment system or the kind of indices that we decide to use. I think then only we are able to generate a figure for that. And with respect to the performance of Kuala Lumpur, it depends on what particular angle we are looking at. For example, you know, if you're looking at transportation, Kuala Lumpur may not be doing that well. And this is obvious. We see all the congestions and so on. And it relates to a much wider issue of also land use planning in how we have actually kind of allowed a lot of lower density monofunctional development to happen, what we call urban sprawl, if you like, the way that cities have expanded rather in an uncontrolled or unwell managed pattern, so that more people are living far away from where they need to go to work or to get services and so on. And that is why a lot of people drive. And this is compounded by public transport network that are not comprehensive enough. So it all adds up, you see. I'm just giving one example of, in terms of transportation. And that itself can involve already a very complex set of criteria or indices to be used in order to assess that.
What are some practical areas that we should focus our development on so that sustainability can be felt and experienced on the ground?
I think this is a very good question, because anything related to sustainable development, it must actually at the end generate good impacts and positive effects to people. So if I may, I think development policies around the world, including Malaysia itself, when we mention sustainable development, most of the time we have big and broad policy statements and so on. But generally, we are not doing enough on the ground, especially. So I would say to progress, especially in the context of cities, we need to go back to some very basic things. For example, traveling, the feeling of security or safety. For example, health and so on. These are all directly impacted upon by the way we actually plan and design cities. But at the same time, we need to have very strong support from the people themselves, especially in terms of the appreciation about sustainable development, and not for people to simply think that these are goals which are idealism and spoken only or mainly by people in the academia or people who are drawing up plans to fulfill certain requirements. But in order to get people to be convinced, people have to feel that it is something that will give benefit to them. And, you know, therefore, people feel the positive changes in life, so that cities are good places for people to live in, to work in, to grow up in, or even to die in a way.
Right. And Lun Wai, last question. I know it's not really an easy one, but is there a city with a similar sort of geographic, socioeconomic context that has achieved sustainability in all the ways that you've just described?
Oh, well, that's really a tough question. I personally don't think we can find one single city that can be the best benchmark for us to work towards. However, different cities, due to probably their different geographic, cultural, political peculiarities, they have strengths in different aspects. For example, if you look at Melbourne, then it's very famous for its livability and urban quality. The successful project of bringing people back to live in the city centre, enlivening the city centre and so on. If we look at Singapore, Singapore is a very successful tropical city that has done quite well, especially the fact that they have to accommodate as much as like 5.5 million people within a small island. So their transportation system, the way they handle limited water resources or even waste management and so on, is probably something that we can look at. If we look at, again, more developing countries, let's say, which are quite similar, or at least in terms of socioeconomic level, Curitiba in Brazil or even Bogota in Colombia, not very rich cities, but how, through the creativity and leadership of their mayors, then they are considered to be among the very good examples of how cities can improve public transport and urban environment to make public transport more efficient, more affordable to people. So I think on the whole, there is no one particular city to really take as a benchmark, but I think we can take different good aspects of different cities to try to work towards. But one word of caution would be that what works in one city, especially if the geographic and cultural contexts are very different, may not work directly here for Malaysia. So we need to also study very carefully the success factors and then relate them to our specific cultural, political, geographic or climatic context so that it may work well for us as well.
Lun Wai, thank you so much for chiming in today. That was Chow Lun Wai, Senior Lecturer in Urban Design at UTM, talking to us about how KL can become a fully sustainable city, because it was reported that we're on our way, which we've clarified. If you missed that, you can check out our call earlier with Ihsan Zainal Mokhtar, who's president of the MIP, the Malaysian Institute of Planners. Now, we've also been asking you for your thoughts. What do you think would increase the sustainability of the city? And here's some answers.
Fix the potholes and make the drainage better, increase connectivity and cleanliness.
And that came through from Jerry, which I think is all things that everyone who lives in KL would just heartily agree with. Kelvin says, I feel we need more walking pathways as well. And I walk a lot.
Yeah,
I walk a lot. It's something that I like to do in our city. And so this is something I feel quite strongly about, actually.
And trying to walk or even bike in KL is a bit of a death trap.
Yes, honestly, in so many ways. All right, we're going to be headed to the 7:30 news, after which it's Skip Intro. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.